It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Agenda Free Friday. Felger and Maz here. Agenda Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Everything on the board that we've gotten to, anything we've yet to get to, it's all up to you. That's the whole idea. We did spend some time yesterday on Chase Winovich. Bill's burying this kid. As I said yesterday, in a normal year, I'd be all for it because this kid is a little too high on himself. He's a big fan of him. And normally, I'd be all in favor of Bill ball gagging the kid. But when your defense blows and you got no one to make plays and he's one of the few that can make plays, you sort of wonder if on this one specifically, Bill, well, there's just different circumstances and he can't handle it the way he normally would.
He's the team's sack leader. And that's after he played 5 snaps last week. Put him on the field. He might be acting like an a-hole, but like swallow your pride, Bill.
Okay, so Kevin in Connecticut on Winovich. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First of all, I agree with your take on Bill Belichick. I think 1 year and he's probably out of here if he doesn't get his draft thing straight. But, Maz, you said that Chase Winovich deserves to be benched. I mean, Murray just said it. I mean, he leads the team in sacks. A guy that is one of the best defensive players on the team deserves to be benched. I mean, I can't say that I agree. Can't say that I've ever disagreed with you more on any take.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's that last statement is not accurate. He said much worse than that.
Oh, definitely.
But anyway.
And Kevin, just to clarify, what I said was I think Winovich should be playing more, but if Belichick's going to put the screws to anybody, Winovich could benefit from it.
Well, I mean, listen to this. In case you missed it again, here was his hit yesterday with Beadle and Zolak. Do you have it still?
I guess it's a game plan thing. Like I said, the last 3 weeks, I was a little curious, and I can't talk about it publicly, I don't think,
right.
But I just obviously gotta be better.
You were curious why you weren't playing? Like, you deserve some sort of answer? Who are you?
I mean, can you believe, man, that somebody wouldn't put me out there?
Let's hear the other one. He says he doesn't understand the game. I don't understand what these guys are doing, not putting me out there.
I always say this, but it's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
No. There's another one.
Honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
There it is.
But, in terms of, what goes into it and in the snap count and all that stuff. But that is what it is. And, the past 3 weeks have been a challenge for sure. It's easy making plays for me. It's just it's tougher to kind of be idle while that goes on. But
all right, so that's enough. It's like this guy. It's like,
can you see what that meeting's like?
He is literally.
I always say this, but it's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
He's saying like, yeah. I don't understand why they just don't. Who would not want me on the field? You know what I mean?
Seriously, like, man, who wouldn't want me to play? Coach, can I come knock? I'm going to knock on your coach. Do you understand how much I could help? Like, do you know?
Making plays is easy for me. It's a sitting that's hard.
Oh, seriously, I'm telling you.
Well,
He poops cookie dough.
I don't understand the game plan. I don't know who could not want this out on the field. What did you read me before, Mason?
So apparently, someone sent me this. Greg Bedard wrote this in his assessment of Winovich way back when, and he cited Bob McGinn, What one scout told Bob McGinn that
So Bob McGinn's a reporter, used to be in Green Bay, does great pre-draft stuff. Go ahead.
One scout told Bob McGinn that Winovich was, quote, kind of a big-time millennial guy. He really started to feel himself in the branding. Some of that stuff bothers me, but then he's a good football player. Another scout, he's like a big, dumb puppy. He wants attention all the time. He could polarize teammates that way. The older guys roll their eyes at him, and the younger guys think he's the man. And apparently, Winovich, he also thinks definitely. He's the man.
President of the Chase Winovich fan club.
Okay, so when I hear Winovich in that interview and those cuts, and he's been like this with Zoe Zolak and Bertrand for a while
and
now.
Just background, I mean, that was mild. The previous week, like, you know Bill or Bears or someone has told him to put a effing sock in it or else we're going to fine your ass. But he signed on to do this interview, and it's sponsored, so he's making money off. So I don't think he can cancel it. I don't know. So he comes on every week, and he tries to button it down more and more every week. He just keeps getting himself in more trouble.
Yeah,
so
it keeps coming out.
That comment where he says, I don't really understand the game plan, that was after 3 weeks of Bill probably telling him, shut your pie hole.
Seriously.
Yeah. Like, it just, I guess it's a game plan thing. Like I said, the last 3 weeks, I was a little curious.
What do you mean you're curious? Shut up.
Exactly.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. You're just supposed to say yes. No independent thought allowed, for crying out loud.
I always say this, but it's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
Seriously. This guy does. He's like he thinks he's a cross between Lawrence Taylor and Plato.
So anyway, what were you just going to say before I interrupted you?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But so this is all a long way of saying. Normally, I'd be all for Bill busting this kid's balls. Like, Jesus, get a clue. But when you suck and you have no one who's making plays, and this is one of the few guys who can make plays,
just bite the bullet.
Put Spicoli out there, for crying out loud. And let's go.
Like I always say, all I need are some tasty waves, a cool buzz, and I'm fine. Put me out on the field, man.
You can just tell he's like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he loves himself some Winovich.
He's just playing with his hair the whole time. Tony in the car on the Celtics. Hi, Tony.
What's my name, bro? Winovich.
Hi. One thing I was thinking about is I don't think it's been stated enough the negative plays and the losing plays that Marcus Smart makes on not necessarily a nightly basis, but especially as we got into the playoffs. And I just think he's, for that reason, just as much as his rife with Jaylen Brown is the one that has to go. His losing plays that he makes. Yes, he makes winning plays, but he makes losing plays too. That's
he does.
I got to say, thank you.
He does. He's a role player that doesn't know he's a role player, and that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, again, ego to talent ratio is like greater than 5, something like that. Ideally, you want one that's a little below 1, but his ego to talent ratio is off the charts.
Nick,
it's ridiculous.
Nick in New Hampshire, what you want the Patriots doing? What do you want the Patriots to do the rest of the season?
I say finish the tank out and get a good draft pick and rebuild for 10, 15 years and versus just being competitive for the divisional round, because who cares about the divisional round?
So you think...
And another...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, just another side thing. Do you guys trust McDaniels to take over the team after Bill's gone? And is he going to get roster control if he does?
Great question. So do I trust him? No. But he would be my pick. I wouldn't trust anyone. You know, like... So, I mean, I don't know who, let me take that back. If they brought in Vrabel or Nick Saban or, like, you know, outside of a few guys who I think are really good and I know are really good, and I don't even know if Vrabel belongs to me on that class, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Unless they brought in someone like that, I don't trust anyone. So Josh gets the job is who I would hire a job. I think I would hire Josh. I think he deserves the job. Do I trust him? No. What was the first thing you said? Oh. That they should tank and get the highest pick possible and try and be good for the next 10 to 15 years versus just win the division this year. What makes you think, fans, that it's either or? Like, if they tank, they're not going 2-14. Do you understand that? So they're playing too many tanking teams, you know, and never mind, still Bill's going to try and win games and Cam Newton's going to try and win games. You're going to have a couple wins. So I think the worst you're going to do is like the 9th pick. If you try and win the division and you go 9-7, you're going to have the 19th pick. So, look, I'd rather have the 9th pick than the 19th pick as well. But you think one means the 9th pick means you're building for the next 10 to 15 years, and the 19th pick means you're just treading water? What are you talking about?
Potentially, yeah, if you get that third quarterback, you got to crap your pants for Lance, Trey Lance, North Dakota.
I'm telling you, Murray, to get to that spot, right, to get the third quarterback, this past year it took the sixth pick. So you got to get up near the top five.
I don't think they're getting there. Look,
unless you get to like 8 or 9 and then you trade up. But even then, I think it's hard.
I've said before, I'm never tanking. It's not true. There's certain situations I would. If you were in line for the first overall pick, if we were sitting here at zero or no wins and the Jets weren't on the schedule and you really had a chance to finish with zero or no wins and you really had a shot at Trevor Lawrence, I'd say fine. But I don't think that's realistic. So I'm not tanking for Justin Fields or the kid from North Dakota State or the kid for BYU. I'm sorry. Not worth it. Not worth it, in my opinion.
I mean, I think that, you know, given what they are and where they are, just play it out. Just play it out.
Matt in Springfield on Chase Winovich.
Yeah, just to quote you guys yesterday, you said that given the team's circumstances, they should loosen the reins on Chase Winovich. However, your stance prior was not to loosen the reins on the greatest quarterback and the greatest tight end of all time. Like, we should hold the screws to those guys. But because we're not winning as much anymore, we let Chase Winovich do what he wants. Give me a break. Real quick as well. I think, Felger, you hold Brady to a certain standard that you don't hold Belichick to. You always talk about Brady whining because he had a mean boss, but that's exactly what Bill did. You know, Kraft told him, we're going with Brady over Jimmy G. You know, Bill should have took that. Okay, you got a boss that disagrees with you. But instead, he whined, he moaned, he bitched, he complained. He traded away Jimmy G for nothing. He wouldn't sign anybody.
Matt and I talk about three different things. I think Bill deserves tremendous blame for how he handled the Garoppolo transition. Tremendous. I mean, Kraft stepped in and he shouldn't. But instead of Bill making the best of a bad situation, he sort of acted like a baby and just, you know, just dealt him to something that would serve him and Jimmy and did not do what was best for the team. And we've ripped him mercilessly for that. So I don't know what you're talking about. And you want me or anyone else to treat Brady and Bill in the same category, and I don't. Brady's the player. Bill's the coach. I do not put them on equal footing. I'm sorry. I don't.
Well, and the other thing is, I would say in terms of both of them acting like babies after they didn't get what they want, we did treat them the same way.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yes.
Right? So Brady didn't get what he wanted, and we said, stop complaining. And with Bill, I'd say the same thing. Stop being a big baby about it. So Bill's reaction to getting overruled was to pout and make it worse, which is no good. And his job, just shut up and take it. And go get the next guy.
Right.
Like, so I don't like the way they handled that at all. Again, you know how I feel about the trade. But even after that, what have they done to make it better? He's done nothing to make it better. He took Eddie Etling and then a kid in the fourth round and stood him.
Danny.
So we've ripped the crap out of him for that. I'm not sure what you're talking about. When it comes to coach, player, I'm not, unless it's the NBA and you're LeBron James, I'm not taking the player over the coach or, you know, letting the player get his way over the organization. That's how you get into real trouble. I'm sorry. I do believe that. The Heat Miser, Bob Sosi, standing by. We'll talk to him next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Bill Belichick
sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's Mr. Bob Sosi. He's got hot takes.
Yeah, it was miserable.
And he thinks that Felger and Mads are just a couple of snakes.
He's Mr. Bob Sosi. He's 5 foot fun.
5 foot one.
Here comes a take that'll scorch you like the sun.
All right, here he comes, the voice of the Patriots. Bob Sosi. I get my read. It's time to chill with the heat miser, Bob Sosi. Take so hot, it'll burn you like the sun, Maz.
Ooh, my bun's already red.
He's brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill. How you doing, Roberto?
I'm doing well, guys. Tony, speaking of the sun, how was it out there today? I know you were grinding away, prepping for the show out on the links today.
Oh, it was dreadful. I had my phone with me the whole time, Bob.
Oh, yeah, believe me. He was firing off takes left and right.
Yep, you have no idea.
Okay, Bobby, how do you feel about your football team right about now? Yesterday, I don't know. I know you've been watching a lot of John King and the guy on MSNBC. I forget his name. But we did our own high-level analysis of a couple of boards and discovered that the Patriots have a legit chance at the AFC East title. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's funny. Off air, our producer, our esteemed producer, James Stewart, asked me how I felt about the football team and if they still had an opportunity for the division. And you know, frankly, if they win this game and then they pull it off against Baltimore, I think they have a very good shot.
Wait, whoa. They've got to beat Baltimore.
Well, I'm just that'd be a good win at home, and I'm getting ahead of myself because they just need to compete for 60 minutes. They need to forget about the playoffs right now. That's for us. They need to put together a complete football game, 60 minutes, as mistake free as they possibly can on both sides of the ball. Get back in the win column and then go from there. But I think that the division is still up for grabs. I know the Bills right now have what seems to be a commanding lead over the third place Patriots, but I wasn't overly impressed with Buffalo. I think they're a flawed football team.
And their schedule toughens. Yeah. They've played the Jets twice. You've played the Jets none. So, I mean, there's a two-game swing right there. I'm just not giving them the Baltimore. I mean, they're going to have to win the division by losing to Baltimore. I mean, that's all, you know, I would say about that. But, Bob, did you see any signs of life in the team in the second half there in Buffalo?
Yeah, I did. And I think they have to have some quality wins to get to where they want to go. But again, we'll put that off to next week's show. See how they do against the Jets on Monday. I saw life. They competed. And I thought that as the game went along, it was evident that the quarterback especially was playing with a little more confidence. It was clear from the outset, you know, after all the talk about not completing any passes, not attempting any passes, for example, to the right side of the field right away, there's a design half rollout and a throw to the right sideline. So I thought that was an indication, along with some other things, as we talked about last week, maybe trying to meet Cam more closer to what he's comfortable with and asking him to do more of what you're comfortable with calling in terms of Josh and the game plan. I thought that there was a concerted effort to try to bring him along and build trust in him, but also develop trust in himself. And I thought we saw that in the second half.
Bob, with the personnel they have, can the run defense get better?
Tony, it's tough. I mean, it's going to have to be. Even this week against the Jets, you know, Adam Gase, whose team ran it well in Miami a couple of years ago toward the end of the season. Remember the Miami Miracle? One of the things we forget about in that game is they gashed the Patriots' run defense. And this run defense hasn't been good. And this run defense is light. It's banged up. The personnel has been an issue from day one. We've known about the defensive backs. And, of course, you're asking guys in a lot of ways to play more snaps in certain positions. John Simon is an example, for example, defensive end, 76% of the snaps thus far. Last year, 48%. Watch what teams are getting on the edge. And I don't mean to just single him out. Chase Winovich's snap count has been down in a few games. I know that's been a hot topic around here. And I think that's related to team defense and run defense. And maybe he gets more of a chance this week because with him out of the lineup, they haven't been able to stop the run. And then on the interior, you know, a guy like Lawrence Guy is dealing with a number of injuries. You know, I think about other players, and Adam Butler, for example, he's been on the injury report all year, shoulder injury, elbow injury. his production is down. The snap count's roughly the same, but the tackles for losses not there this year. Even getting to the quarterback, not there. And I just look at, you know, what they have up front, the linebacker position. No Dante Hightower, I think, is enormous for this team. Van Noy and Collins, yeah, they're big misses, big losses. But I think Hightower is a player that we really underappreciated, not only for what he did rushing the passer at Super Bowl 51 and some other key spots, but particularly his ability against the run and his ability to play inside off the ball, but also in those passing situations, come off the edge.
Well, so, you know, maybe along these lines, we've been spending some time on Chase Winovich here the last couple of days. Why do you think he's not playing, and does any of it have to do with an intangible of his personality, the way he carries himself, maturity, something like that?
You know, I don't know if it has anything to do with that, honestly. The coaches say it doesn't. And you know, I thought Bill, it was interesting. You guys played Teddy Bruschi's comments a little bit ago, I think a couple of breaks ago, coming out of break. And it was interesting to me, with so much attention being paid, and rightfully so, to what Bill had to say over the weekend to Charlie Weiss, I thought his tenor and his tone, and quite frankly, his honesty in some respects in the press teleconference with the local media on Monday was really surprising, in particular when Winovich's name came up again. And Bill was pressed on his playing time, and Bill said, you know, it's been based on some situational things. Look, he's a good player. He's going to play. And I even commented on text with a couple of colleagues after the press conference ended. I thought, that was different. And there were a couple of other answers in that teleconference. And I wonder if that's maybe Bill realizing kind of what Teddy was saying, that, you know, this, he's got to be more encouraging with these guys, and he's got to, you know, develop confidence, but also maybe this is a guy who deserves the opportunity. I want to say, as a personal thought, this for what it's worth, I think one of the things that I'm interested about with the young players on this team, and I think back to when Derek Jeter was one of the last remaining core players from those great Yankee teams in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, he would always say, this isn't the same team. And so you got a lot of young guys who've come in the last couple of years, to Bruschi's comments, who, you know, kind of came into this wonderful situation. And, you know, Chase Winovich is one of those guys. He's given an automatic high profile. He's got the personality. He certainly seems to be interested in having his brand. You know, maybe first steps first. Be the player, become the best player you can be for this team, adhere to the, you know, the Patriots standard of playing on the field, and then you could take advantage of those opportunities afterwards. The same way that people like Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman did during their careers. They didn't have their own brands early. It took some time.
Okay, Bob, but before we let you go, can I just ask you just real quick, because they are playing them. There is a game.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can say about the Jets? Do they do anything well?
They can run it against the Patriots. I think they'll try to commit to that. I mean, Frank Gore has played well against the Patriots even last year for the Buffalo Bills. So I never want to give up on him, even though his numbers are down pretty drastically. Their defense is a shell of what we've been accustomed to. Even on the bad Jets teams, you always figure that they were going to play pretty good defense, you know, under Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles. Greg Williams is going to go after the Patriots, maybe just by the sheer aggressiveness of blitzing that causes problems for Cam and the Patriots, who haven't been good against the blitz. But it's hard to see where the Jets can compete unless, again, the Patriots make a lot of mistakes. This team is by far the least talented they faced, I think. You know, Denver had some talent on both sides of the ball. This team really doesn't have much. Darnold is a quarterback seemingly in a crisis of confidence, the interceptions versus the touchdowns. And the offensive line, they drafted the left tackle, but, you know, they're not very good up front overall. The weapons are, you know, rather pedestrian. You're going to see some former Patriots out there, Braxton Berrios and Chris Hogan, the tight end Chris Herndon, you know, is not the player they thought he might be. And then, as I said, defensively, they're not what they were. I mean, Pierre Desir right now is like their best defensive player. They've traded away some guys up front. I think they have had three or four players they've dealt away in the last couple of weeks.
Okay. Bobby, either way, we'll be watching. We'll be listening. Thanks for taking the time. We'll catch you next week. See you, Bob.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Bob Sosi. Catch him Monday night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Patriots, Jets. Here's the update. Back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday right after.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
They've got your drive home covered.
That's just one question for the people.
Felger and Mass.
There's so many questions for the people. My facilitation cup runneth over.
On Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we continue and go back to your phones. A couple open lines at 617-779-0985. If you want to grab them, join the party. Lead story of the day is the Red Sox have officially hired Alex Cora to return as manager. So that's gotten quite a bit of attention. John in Quincy has a thought on the Sox. Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to know about starting pitching and how Maz made out on the sixth hole today. And granted, I gave him the 150-yard approach shot.
So who's this, Maz?
I don't know. Some guy ran into out there. I asked him what club he hit because it was into the wind.
Uh-huh. And how'd that work out for you?
But we played a different tee, as it turned out. So it was really irrelevant.
Doesn't feel like a clean answer.
But I hit the middle of the green.
Okay, what was the other question that he had?
The pitching staff of the Red Sox. And so here's what I would tell you. Anybody to whom there was no compensation attached. So like Trevor Bauer, for example, and I know we've talked about him. He got a qualifying offer from the Reds, which means if you sign him, you got to give up a draft pick. They won't do it. I mean, I don't know that. I'm just telling you, my gut tells me they won't do it.
Yeah.
Teams typically that are in desperate need of talent, which the Red Sox are on the pitching staff and in the minor leagues, are not going to give up draft picks. So they're going to find another route. And my guess is you'll see them sign multiple pitchers. They'll probably go for a bunch of guys who are middle of the rotation guys. So look, you know, and I'm putting pieces together here that may or may not go together. But if you look at the Rays and you have Blake Snell and you're going to pull him after five innings anyway, then why do you have to go out and spend big money on a starting pitcher?
My question, yeah.
So I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to go try to find guys who have a pulse and try to get them to fill out the rotation, and it wouldn't surprise me if you see them load up on the bullpen. Get ready for a lot of paint by number.
Mm.
Get ready for a lot of it.
Kevin in Cambridge on the Patriots. Yes, Kevin.
Yeah, quick comment, then a question for all three of you guys. Something absolutely smells about this Patriots front office. You know, they really miss a voice that's going to challenge Bill and stop him from getting to the draft and then pulling a Jeffrey Toobin just so he can show everybody who's in charge. And then my question for you guys is, who do you identify on this team as like a foundational building piece? Because outside of Michael Onwenu, who's been a beast this year, I just don't know who you can look at on this team and say, okay, you can build around that guy, and the next time you're competing for championships,
oh, no,
they
don't have one.
J.C. Jackson, I keep bringing up this name. I think that guy can be a solid two corner.
Yeah, well, no, this is what we asked. You know, is there any player that you would not trade? Is there any player that you would just, you know, not really entertain offers on? And, of course, if someone offered me three first-round picks for J.C. Jackson, I'm trading him. But so you got to work with me a little bit on that. But J.C. Jackson, I think, is your best young player and is someone I'm not interested in fielding offers on. That might be the only guy on the whole team.
Yeah, I don't even put him in the list. I mean, again, I like him, but he's not, to me, the kind of guy you extend that way for. So I don't think they have one.
No one to build around on offense, no one to build around on defense.
All the way around.
Not even close. Not even close. Huge issue, and you blame Bill. But the first thing that the caller said is that they need, you know, there's no one to push back on Bill. There's never been anyone to push back on Bill.
You know why? Because Bill doesn't want anyone to push back.
Because he's a dictator. Okay, so but that's the way it's always been. So it's like, you know, he's had some good drafts too, He's had some eras here and some years there where he's strung together some really good personnel work. And outside of the quarterback, I know you Brady people don't want to hear it, but outside of the quarterback, he has made moves to build good teams. And he was a dictator then, too. And no one pushed back then either. So, like, don't go acting like because no one's pushing back on him now is suddenly why he sucks. No one's ever pushed back on him, and I am sorry. I love Scott Pioli to death. Great guy, and, you know, he thought he did a good job here. He did not make the calls over Bill Belichick.
None of them did.
When Bill Belichick wanted something, he just did it, no matter what Scott said or recommended. And I know there's, and I mentioned this the other day, I'll just mention it again. I know Michael Holly, who's written books and has been inside it, and other people who've been inside of it, insist that Bill wants pushback. They tell you, Bill wants to be challenged. He wants pushback. And with all due respect to my heart, I say, I don't believe you.
Me neither.
I don't. I've never believed that narrative. I think, Bill, it's just his way or the highway, and I just think that's how he does it. That's my opinion.
I mean, he says that he does.
Yes.
But he doesn't act that way. So, like, so let's use the Kraft thing, and Kraft's his boss, okay? But Kraft overruled him. He pouted. Like, he pouts when someone fights back at him. You know, and I don't think he sits there and says, fellas, I want your honest opinion. Come on, let's go. I don't think he does that.
And at this point, with, you know, he's on Mount Rushmore of the greatest coaches of all time. It's that situation's not changing. So you want to hire a GM to make the picks? Bill's not going to allow it. You want to, you know, empower Nick Cassero to have more power or to push back more? Bill's not going to listen. You are stuck with Bill turning around his recent slump. Either he does it or he doesn't. And I think we can complain about it all you want. I'll take calls on it all you want. We can rip him for it all you want. I don't think it's changing.
No. Listen, as long as he's here, it's his operation. I mean, you live and die with that. The only question is, how long is the leash or the rope?
I mean, there's a chance that he has some sort of epiphany.
I doubt it.
That says, you know what? Nick, you're going to have this one. Nick, I'm going to trust you on this. Or the scout, because the stories are legendary. The scouts put in all the work. They file these big reports. They have the big workup on the prospect. And Bill comes in and says, hold on a second. Then he calls his buddy who coaches Florida and says, what do you think? And this guy says, well, that guy's pretty good. He picks that guy. And he just ignores the scouts and all the work and calls one of his coaching buddies and picks that player. Like, those stories are legendary. There's a chance Bill says, all right, you know what? This time I'm going to defer to you. I mean, it's a chance, but he's not going to. If the Crafts make him, he won't. Or if you hire someone to, like, have more of a say, he'll ignore that guy. It has to be his idea, and he has to come to it himself.
Okay, and let's say that he does that, and then the guy stinks.
Oh, yeah.
Then what happens?
The last time I listened to you.
Exactly. So to me, it doesn't work. His personality is what it is. You can't change it.
And
by the way, it has worked. It has worked.
Mostly, yeah.
Right? You know, so overall, over the 20 years, it's been a tremendously successful run. Let's not get ridiculous about it. But this idea that, like, all of a sudden they'll change, that's not going to change. That's not going to change. He doesn't want it to change.
Okay, so he's just got to get hot again. He's got to start making the right calls. It's all on him. Christian in Foxborough. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Winovich. Those comments, you know what they remind me of? Remember when Mike Reese and Danny Amendola were in the cab and Amendola says, you know, I don't know what defense we're running when Malcolm's not out there. You know, we thought those comments were, you know, eye-opening, but you know what? At least he was a veteran. He got paid. And he wasn't even on the team at this point. He was going to Miami. So I just thought that Winovich's comments, like, you know, like who are you? You know, like, you just got here. So I don't know. I just thought they were kind of blasphemy.
Okay, you're confusing. That was Brady. Who said to Jim Gray, when Jim Gray pressed him at the, I think it was the Milken Institute.
It was.
About the Super Bowl. Brady said at one point, I kept looking up and Malcolm was on the bench with me. And I kept looking up saying, what defense are we in where he's not on the field?
Right.
So that's Brady. This is a, you know, for all intents and purposes, a rookie.
A toddler.
A kid who just got here, who is not a complete player, is really, frankly, other than his stupid hair, is a nobody. You know, sort of questioning the game plan, which is, it's just a different argument. And Amendola's called Bill an a-hole after he left and signed somewhere else. And that's, so, like, you're confusing all sorts of different stories. The Winovich thing is sort of rare. It's odd that a new young player here on the Patriots, who's, you know, may not even be that good, gets into his second year, loses playing time, and says, you know, man, I don't really understand the game plan. What that. I don't get what they're thinking up there.
Every time I think of it, I laughed harder. It is so outrageous for that to happen down in Foxborough. So outrageous.
I kind of respect it for a kid who's only been here really for like a year and a half. He looks at Belichick. He's like, yeah, I don't really care.
I'd respect it if he did it on purpose.
And that was basically what he said too, Murray. He says, well, you know, it is what it is. I'm just going to keep doing me and, you know, making plays. And I don't understand
it. No, the best part of the whole thing is he doesn't even realize he's doing it. That's the best part of the whole thing. Like, yeah, dude, I don't really understand that, man. I mean, you know, I don't know why I wouldn't be part of the game plan. I'm great, dude. Look at me.
I'm a playmaker. What's he know? I should be out there.
Have you seen my hair, man? You like my hair? I don't get the game plan, but, you know, that's not my thing. That is so great. Bill's looking at him going, is this guy serious? Is this guy for real? Like, does he even understand what the hell he's doing? He's so clueless. That's the best part of the whole thing. He's oblivious. I love it. Every time he opens his mouth, Belichick's in there getting more and more pissed. And Winovich has no idea why. It's the best part of the whole thing. Oh, it's great.
Okay, we continue with our long commercial free segment next. We'll get back to another big Patriots topic that got put on the board just this week. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, man.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt again. He's going to miss multiple weeks, and I'm just going to say it now. It's over for Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. There are three things as a quarterback that will end your career for one team. You're inconsistent. Garoppolo is. The coach has lost faith in you. The coach has. And you can't stay healthy. He's done in San Francisco.
Let's talk about what matters most from the week in sports. It's presented by Kaplansky Insurance. They protect what matters most. For auto, home, or business insurance, experience the Kaplansky difference today. Yes, there is a difference. Kaplansky.com. What matters most? Well, I'm not going to say that Garoppolo getting hurt and maybe getting on the way out of the door in San Francisco is what matters most. Maybe Core is a bigger story. But for Maz and the Maserati household, I'm not sure there's anything that matters more than that. And do you agree with Colin Coward there, our buddy at Fox Sports, that this opens the door for Jimmy Garoppolo to return to New England?
I mean, it feels that way. And again, it's not just because Coward said it. The big thing is you look at that contract. If they're going to get out of that contract, this spring is the spring to do it. And so, look, the Patriots need a quarterback. San Francisco has doubts about Garoppolo. The money's big. I think they're going to approach him and say, we're doing one of two things here. We're either redoing this contract or we're cutting you or trading you. Whatever. I don't know that they'll just outright cut him unless they have another direction to turn in. But You know, there's a chance, a real chance, he could be on the market.
Would you trade a second-round pick for him?
I would.
Oh, come on.
I would.
That's what you get. That's too high.
Why?
Given his how fragile the guy is, the lack of durability. Oh, please, a second-round pick. That's way too high.
So I don't know if it'll take that.
It might not.
Because, again, he'll be a depressed – I mean, it's one of those things where
– especially if they finish high in the draft order, they could get him for a third.
Well, it's not just that. It's that teams know if he's on the out there, you know, it's not like the Niners have any recourse. They're going to have to cut him. Like, he's $24 million. It's not guaranteed. But the point is, any team that's going to sit there and say, well, why would we give you a second-round pick? We'll pick him up for nothing, you know, coming up in a couple of weeks when he's a free agent.
Yeah, the Niners have very little leverage there.
Right. So that's why it's not a second-rounder. I think in ordinary circumstances, he'd be a second-round pick. Now, maybe, I don't know, second, third, so, you know, somewhere in there. And I would do it. Because, again, I think he'd be a viable starter for you for a couple of years while you find your next young quarterback and draft and develop. And to me, it is worth it, to me, even with the injury stuff. But I don't think they'll need to do that, you know. So then the second thing would be, I mean, if there's another team that's in on him, Chicago, you hear, right? Chicago would say the same thing. We're not trading you a pick when you have to release him. So they release him, and now you have to outbid Chicago? Like, so that's why you give up a draft pick, where you get rights to him, and then you can, you know,
absolutely
restructure the contract on your terms. And so that's sort of the game right there.
Yeah, and I think that, see, they might be forced into that because, you know, he's from there, right? Like, you know, you probably got family there still. The idea that, you know, playing there has probably appealed to him since he was a kid.
You think he'd rather play there than here?
I don't know. Maybe.
Go, hit your wagon to Belichick. He's the one guy that can save you. And I know Nagy's good with quarterbacks and good on offense, but come here. This coach will invest in you heavily.
I mean, I feel like you feel, but the whole home thing for people gets weird. Some people just always think, I want to go play at home.
I want to go home to Evansville.
And it's usually a mistake. Usually playing at home is a mistake.
Okay, again, that's what matters most. Kaplansky.com for your insurance questions. Back to your phones. Jason in Framingham on the Patriots. Hi, Jason. Jason! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You definitely know the number. Josh in Webster. Hi, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Good. I was curious what you guys thought about this. Like, you think Bill has ever drafted to win now instead of, like, building for the long term? Like, taking certain players like he thought he could plug and play versus,
yes,
like, looking at the long term?
A few. I think there's a few guys who he drafted who said, this guy's going to help me right now. I'm pretty sure he felt that way about Seymour. You had no defensive lineman at the time, and I bet when he looked at him, he said, this guy can play for us right now. I bet he felt that way about Hightower. I bet Mayo is what he really meant to say. I bet he felt that way about Mayo.
About Mankins.
I bet he felt that way, probably Mankins. I think he started every game as a rookie, didn't
he? I think so.
And I mean, it's different too. When he first started drafting, the team had a lot of holes. So he drafted Matt Light thinking he could start in the second round at left tackle, but that's because you had no left tackles. But once he had a good team, I think, you know, Hightower and Chandler Jones started week one, day one. I mean,
they did.
I'm not sure if they were technically starters, but they were playing a lot.
Yeah, they did. They both made plays in the first game. I remember it.
Yeah, the strip sack, fumble, and a return. But have there been guys like that after that, you know, those premium first round picks? I don't know.
No, I think he
tried for it last year with Harry.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think he felt he could play day one?
Maybe. I probably did with Michelle.
Michelle, maybe, yes.
So I don't know. I mean,
yes, considering he had never drafted a wide receiver in the first round ever.
I mean, you should. If you go draft a receiver in the first round, you should think he can help you rookie year.
Yeah, they should be able to plug and play.
You should.
I would say that really for the most part of any first round pick. Like, that guy should be playing at least half the snaps. Like, that guy should be jumping in and playing. Now, look, I suppose it's maybe a little different with the left tackle. Didn't Solder play as a rookie?
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, I'm not sure why we got on that. The caller asked. But this I can tell you. When you trade out to the middle of the second round, you're probably not banking on that thing.
Correct.
So this is another reason to stop screwing around at the draft. When you're sitting there in the first round with a good pick, pick a guy who you think can play and play immediately. Sean and Lawrence on someone who's not playing immediately, Chase Winovich. Yes, Sean.
Yeah, what's up, guys? So Winovich is a second-year player, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't have the stats to back it up. Maybe somebody can look this up, but I think his lack of playing time directly correlates to one thing. I forget the game. It was probably like three games ago where he had that complete bonehead penalty where, you know, he's 25 yards away from the ball. And he comes back to the sideline, and Belichick has something to say to him. And
it's another
instead
one.
Of just
going to the bench. He sits there for 30 seconds on national TV at the front of the sidelines, going back and forth with him, and Bill raises his hands up in the air like, well, you're just listening to what the hell I'm saying. And from that moment, like I said, I don't have the stats, but my eye test.
Sure, Sean, let me just stop you. That's part, to me.
It was before that, though.
To me, it's a whole package, okay? And I think it starts on the field. And it starts on the field where Chase Winovich is not good against the run. He had a couple plays where he was late running on the field. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, right? There was a play where they had 10 men on the field against San Fran,
correct.
I think. And I think that was him. He was missing assignments and soft on the edge against the run. And I think that's what got him to the bench to begin with. Now you put it in conjunction with the fact that he talked back to him on the sidelines after a personal foul. You idiot. And he does this for Cocteau radio interview where he's like, you know, clueless.
I don't understand the game plan.
Yeah, I guess it's a game plan thing. Like I said, the last 3 weeks, I was.
So it's like.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
I'll tell you this. If the kid set the edge, knew his assignments, and got to the quarterback, Bill would forgive the talk back after the personal foul. He would forgive the brushing of the hair and the nonsense interview. And he'd tell him to put a sock in it, but he'd still play him.
I always say this, but it's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
And
but,
my counter to that is no, because look at Super Bowl 52, because they're getting shredded by a career backup quarterback. Malcolm Butler can help you. No, you stay stapled to the bench.
So, I mean, it's a fair counter. I just think it's all a package. It's the whole thing, right? You're not doing what we're asking you to do, and you're a freaking bozo.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
So it's like, no, you're out. If you were making rookie mistakes and handled yourself the way I liked off the field, maybe I'd give you a break. And if you, you know, whatever. But I think it starts on the field. I do.
I mean, and
I always say this, but it's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
And when he says I don't understand the game plan, I don't think he means like conceptually. I don't. What am I supposed to do, dude? I don't understand. I think it's.
I don't understand what you're doing. I mean, how could I not be a part of your game plan?
Correct.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
Like, coach, what are you doing, dude? Why are we doing this? Like, the fact that he would have, again, this is like the third time, whatever, he's done this interview.
Yep.
Okay. The fact that he would get scolded for it, benched, and then still say something like that tells me how clueless he is. He just does not get it.
All right, we got Gasper standing by, I think, unless he's late to his living room.
Nope, he's been here the last 20 minutes. We have tested this out. It should work.
Okay, we'll see. Famous last words.
Yeah,
we'll
I know.
See if that happens.
Gasper coming up after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.